Welcome back to another episode of the Whole Person Podcast. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about why you should give up. That's right. You heard it correctly. Why you should quit, but not quitting the things that are most important in your life and essential to success. What are the things in your life that you should give up? I don't know if you've heard of the Pareto's principle. It's also called the 80-20 rule, where you get 80% of the results from 20% of the effort. But yet 80% of what we do is insignificant to the actual results that we do. So what areas in your life do you need to quit? So today we have Byron Morrison, who is an author, a speaker, and CEO coach who's helped many coaches around the world. And today, we're actually going to be talking a little bit about his book, Maybe You Should Give Up. And so, Byron, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Good. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And I love the idea and title of your book. So let's just jump right into the nitty gritty. I've already set it up in our introduction of the Pareto's principle, and maybe you should quit. But quitting is some of the things that are necessary in our life. A lot of times we think we shouldn't quit. So tell me, right off the bat, what are some of the things that people are holding on to that you've seen that we need to let go of?
Yeah, so over the last decade, I've been fortunate now to work with people in 15 different countries. What I discovered is there are 7 mental blocks that every single one of us hold on to that cause us to get in our own way and stop us from living the life that we want. And that's why I found that in order to actually break through them, we have to give up on those beliefs and barriers to finally reach our potential. And these are everything from being controlled by fear to comparing yourself to others, being too hard on yourself and putting off your happiness. But if so often in life, we hold on to these mental barriers, and they're the very things that are weighing us down and stopping us from moving forward.
So I can tell you in my own life, I have beliefs and patterns, both consciously and subconsciously, that I feel like hinder my success. One of them is whatever I do is never good enough. And so when you've reached people in your line of work, how do you help someone overcome their own limiting beliefs?
Yeah, so the feeling that you're never going to get everything, that everything's never good enough, is such a ingrained trait that I've seen in so many high achievers. And the problem with that mentality is, yes, it's a great motivator. When you're someone who always strives for perfection or doing your best, it pushes you to move forward. But at the same time, this sets up so many people for a life of being unfulfilled, because they're constantly beating themselves up and focusing on what they didn't do and the mistakes that they made, and nothing's ever enough. And that's why, for me, it's not about lowering your goals and ambitions. Instead, it's about coming to peace with knowing when you've shown up and done your best. And there's 2 really powerful ways I found work for that. The first is having a clear outcome in mind. The second one is reframing the outcome. Rather than focusing on the mistakes, look at the positives that you get as a result of it. So instead of being like, oh, all of these things went wrong, we should have done that better, reframing your mind of being like, okay, this is actually a positive, because this has set me up for the future now. Next time I do this again, I've learned all of these lessons that'll help me actually get to the next level. Same situation, but it's a different reframe mentally. It's starting to look at what you can take away from it and the outcome you want to create, rather than what should have done in your mind actually gone better.
Yeah. So a lot of people struggle with the process of decision making. And you said something in there about the reframe is, okay, well, which one leads to more peace? And that's actually a filter that I use in my own life to live by in the process of making decisions. So when I don't know what to choose, I take a step back, I rest, and I say, okay, which one feels like more peace? And based off of that decision alone, I get a feeling that leans slightly one way or another. And I allow the decision of peace to make my decision versus the circumstance or my thoughts, feelings, or beliefs. So what happens is then I step back from what may or may not be good thoughts, feelings, or beliefs, but I'm led by an internal peace, which I believe is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us in all truth in our life.
Yeah, it's a really powerful way of framing it. And it just comes down to recognizing what's actually going on in your life. Because so many people, before they take action or make decisions, they want complete certainty. They want to know exactly how things are going to turn out. And life just doesn't work that way. A lot of the time, you have to dive in and allow yourself to figure it out and make mistakes and progress in order to actually move forward. And that's why I really like that at peace outcome. It's like, which one has the least resistance? Which one do you feel like is the right path for you? Because a lot of the time, your gut's going to tell you which way to go. And a lot, we also tend to be our own worst enemy, as we put so much pressure on ourselves. If we don't pick the perfect path, it's this huge catastrophe. Whereas a lot of the time, even if you do make a mistake, you can pivot, you can learn from it, you can adjust course.
So in this process of changing the way that we look at our situation, being led by peace, there's this process that goes on in our brain, both conscious and subconscious. And a lot of our beliefs, values, and patterns aren't just ingrained in our conscious mind, but also deeply rooted in our subconscious. So in the event of trying to make life changes, when the way that we've been habited previously is deeply rooted in the subconscious, how do we create that crossover change to see it go from a subconscious negative belief into a conscious belief that then falls back into the transformation of the subconscious into something that actually helps us?
Yep. Before we dive into that, I just want to explain quickly to listeners why this is going on. Because I think before you can focus on the solution, you have to understand the problem. And that's why anyone listening to us right now, you need to understand that your brain's been wired for quantity of life. And what that means, it's been programmed in a way that it wants to survive. It doesn't want to thrive. It wants to keep everything the same types of relationships, the same amount of weight on your body, the same amount of wealth, happiness, and joy. It wants to keep everything the same because everything in your past has been survived, meaning it's far safer than anything new. Whereas your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, the life that you want to live, it's all new, meaning it brings with it an inherent risk. And that's why even though you might be unhappy in the situation you're in right now, your brain takes comfort in what it knows because it can predict what's going to happen. And this is why when you try and move forward, it fills your head with all those doubts, those fears, those negative thoughts. Because what if you fail? What if you're not good enough? What if you get rejected? Because it wants to trip you up and keep you where you are. And that's why you're never going to change your life until you train your brain to think yourself into the life that you want. So that's the first part. It's really understanding why your subconscious doesn't want you to move forward. So for me, that's where it goes back to these seven mental barriers. It's always looking and understanding, okay, why do you think the way that you do? And then starting to take action that proves those beliefs wrong. Because take fear as an example. If someone listening to us right now wants to start a business or approach and speak to a person, but they're worried they might fail or get rejected, that's their brain tripping them up. The only way they're going to change that is to start putting themselves in a situation to see that that fear is nothing more than a story. And that comes from taking uncomfortable action to put yourself in moments and environments where you can prove yourself wrong, where you can start making progress. So it's all about figuring out, okay, where's that resistance coming from? And then what do you need to do to overcome it?
I love that because I had a life experience with this once. I decided I wanted to do something that I've never done before. And a limiting belief that I had is that I couldn't do a triathlon. And granted, I did not a long one. I did a sprint, but I never thought I'd be able to do a triathlon. And so what I did is I decided to challenge that limiting belief so that I could overcome it. And in so the process, my son started recognizing that I was challenging this limiting belief. I got home after my race, dead tired, laying in bed. And my son comes into the side of the bed. He goes, "Dad, I'm so proud of you." I said, "Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Why are you proud of me?" He goes, "Because you did something you thought you couldn't do." And I was just like, oh my gosh, he saw that. He saw that I was challenging myself to do something I thought I couldn't do. And I had success in it. And it left a resounding impact in his life. But that's a lot easier said than done, especially when it comes to the mind versus actually just going to do something physical. How do we challenge our limiting beliefs to do things that we think we cannot do?
So In my experience, one of the biggest reasons that most people don't achieve their goals is they focus too much on what they want and they don't figure out who they need to become in order to make it happen. And the reason why this is such a problem is every new level of success requires a new level of you, which is why your current thoughts, your beliefs, your way of doing things that got you to where you are aren't going to get you to the next level. And this is why anyone listening to this right now needs to stop and think about, okay, the vision of the life they want to create, who's the version of them that made it happen? How did that person spend their days? What did they do with their time? What non-negotiables did they follow through with that got them to where they are? That's going to give them an idea of, okay, this is the roadmap and the actions you start taking every single day to get you to where you want to be. And then to take it a step further, you need to start pushing yourself to show up as that person, because your current thoughts, your behaviors, your way of doing things, that's going to keep you stuck, especially on the days when you don't feel motivated. And this is why you have to take willpower and feeling like doing stuff out of the equation. And in the moments when you don't feel like following through, whether it's to go to the gym, have a tough conversation, film that video, whatever it is, you have to ask yourself, what would the person I want to become do right now? Would he make excuses? Would he put it off? Or would he push himself to take action? Because when you start taking action as the person you want to become, that's how you're going to start developing new behaviors. Your confidence is going to go up. You're going to build momentum. And over time, you're going to start reprogramming your subconscious, because that's going to become your new normal. And that's how you're going to evolve into that next level version of yourself.
Talking about your future self for a moment, I guess what you're saying is the way that we become our future self is by thinking of who that person is, their thoughts, their feelings, their actions, their habits, and then choosing to live by that future self's standards in our present versus our thoughts, feelings, and emotions of today. So therefore, we're becoming the person that we want to be in the future by understanding the way that that person thinks and responds to specific situations.
Yep. Spot on. Like, I see this all the time in the clients I work with. Like, one of the biggest challenges that they struggle with is having difficult conversations, something none of us like to do. And so often I see people who avoid them at a time because they have this belief that's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to turn into a confrontation. It's going to be this hugely negative experience. That's why they put it off. And that's why they need to take how they feel about the situation out of the equation. In that moment, they need to ask themselves, what would the person I want to become do right now? Would they put this off, or would they face it because they know it needs to be done, because it's going to be help them get clarity and move forward? And then they use that to take that action. And it's the same thinking as whether you need to speak up in that meeting, whether you need to push yourself to go to the gym, whether whatever the goal is in your life or the difficult situation you find yourself in, you have to stop relying on what you feel like doing or what you currently think. It's all about asking yourself, oh, no, the person I want to become, what would they do? And then pushing yourself to do it. I know it's not easy. But when you start actually getting that right, that's how your confidence is going to go up. And you're going to see, actually, you're far more capable than you're giving yourself credit for.
I love that. The greatest push coach is you. Only you have the ability to push yourself further than what you think you can go to becoming the person that you intend to be by living out your future self in your present self. Would you agree with that?
I think a lot of people get so caught up in, like, they need coaches and they need accountability, and all of those things are massively empowering and they do have a big impact on your results. But at the end of the day, the only person who's responsible for creating the life you want is you. And a lot of people go in with this mentality, if they want to get saved, they want someone else to help them get to where they want to be, but no one's coming to save you. So all of those great resources can help guide you there, but you have to be willing to make a decision of, do you know what? I'm tired of being where I am right now. I want something more and I'm going to start making it happen. When you actually start pushing yourself, like, that's when you'll start changing your life.
In this process of growth and change, we have the idea of, okay, this is who I want to be. What are their thoughts, feelings, decisions, and how do I implement that into today? And then you talked about not living based off of feelings, emotions, or willpower. Why is it important that we recognize that willpower will not help us become the person that we want to be?
Because anyone can take action on the days they feel motivated, but it's on the days that you don't that are ultimately going to determine your results. And I think we're all guilty of having times and days where we just, like, I don't feel like doing it today. I'll try tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. And then it just turns into next week and next month. And that's why you have to start finding ways to push yourself. And one of my favorite framings for this as well is fast forwarding to the end of the day. I'll give you an example. I did a video about this last week about a day where I had a really long day. I had a load of calls. I was tired. I just wanted to lie on the couch and watch TV. But I also hadn't got my workout in for that day. Now, the voice in my head was like, just skip it today. It's not a big deal. But what I did was I asked myself, like, at 8 o'clock tonight, am I going to regret not having done this? And knowing myself, the answer is yes. I'd be like, you should have just gone. I would have been beating myself up. So I used avoiding that future pain to push myself to take action because I knew I didn't want to feel like that later. But a lot of the time with willpower, we're focusing on what we want in the moment, whereas we're never going to feel like doing stuff. Like, the amount of times you feel motivated is going to be so rare compared to the times that you don't. And this is why, if you really want to achieve the life that other people never will, you have to be willing to do the things they won't. And that means pushing yourself to follow through.
I couldn't agree more. One of the most painful things that I do almost on a daily basis is I get into a cold plunge of 50 degree water. And every time I do that, for the first leading up to it, it's like, I don't want to do this. But the results of it, and my mind, body feel amazing after. And for the first 45 seconds of the ice bath, it sucks. The deep breaths that you have to take to get in control of your body. But after the first 45 seconds, the environment starts to normalize in your mind and your body. It starts to stabilize. Even though it's really cold, you start to feel a normal. And what happens, from what I can understand, when we apply that same principle in life, is when we do things that are hard, it doesn't fit into what we would call our standard normal. And our mind, like you were saying, wants us to stay in a state of average. But to be above average, to be above normal, we're going to have to push ourselves to places and environments that are uncomfortable, that have far greater benefits to our mind, body, spirit, and emotions. And so in this process of growing and changing and learning, we have to get okay with being uncomfortable. Why is it important that we consistently find situations to help make us uncomfortable?
You said the key word a couple of minutes ago of normalize, because the reality is a lot of the things that you're worried about right now or you're afraid to do, they're only scary because you haven't done them before, but you normalize what you repeatedly do, which is why if you keep doing them over time, they just become your new standard and way of doing things. And this is why if you want to continue moving forward, you have to be uncomfortable, because if you're not uncomfortable, you're not growing, and that's when you start feeling stagnant. And this is where a lot of people become unfulfilled or depressed, because they're just in a life where they're going through the motions and every day feels the same. So what a lot of people misunderstand is they think when it comes to escaping your comfort zones, it will require some big action, like jumping out of a plane or doing some terrifying thing. Whereas actually any step outside your comfort zone, regardless of how small, that starts building your confidence and that becomes your new comfort zone. And this is why if you're struggling to change, you have to start small. Just think of what else one step that you can take today that'll help you move forward. Rather than focusing on the future and where you want to get to, what is the micro action? Keep repeating on that and building on it. And that's how you actually start building your comfort zone and you'll start actually making progress.
Well, we can take that same principle, and I'm going to switch subject here for a brief moment. We take that same subject and apply it to anxiety. A lot of times, those that are anxious don't want to be in situations that make them feel anxious. So they recline, they withdraw from those situations. But in the withdrawing, they're creating a new normal of withdrawal instead of putting themselves in a place to feel challenged. And I know in my own life, the more times I started focusing on what anxiety would do in a situation and then withdraw from that, the more anxiety started happening in my life. And then what I had to do is change the way I think to, you know what, I'm just knowingly going to put myself in the situation expect anxiety to happen, and then work my way through that process. When it comes to life and working through the process of hard things, there are some mindsets and things that we have to give up along the way. And I want to tie this back into your recent book. What are some other things in our lives, based off of what you've written, that we need to give up?
So one of the big ones that I think we're all guilty of in one way or another is short-term thinking. It's prioritizing what we want in the moment, whether it's comfort, pleasure, that in-the-now satisfaction. But the reality is that that is actually sabotaging your long-term results, because regardless of what the goal is, it's going to require sacrifice. You're going to have to give up what you want in the moment for what you want more. And this is why I've found that if you really want to change your life or achieve success, you have to start thinking five steps ahead. You need to ask yourself, what is the consequence of me giving into this right now? A really easy to follow example could be a health example. Let's say you're on a diet and you're trying to lose weight. Well, if you keep prioritizing in the moment, having that piece of cake, that chocolate bar, whatever it is, you're not going to achieve your goals. You have to ask yourself, what is the consequence if I keep doing this repeatedly? And is this really worth giving up my ultimate goal as a result for it? Because when you start making decisions based on where you want to get to instead of where you are, that's when the entire game changes for you.
Absolutely. And we're going to take this one step deeper. This also applies to pornography and masturbation, which is one of the biggest things that men struggle with in today, because it's prevalent everywhere and it's meant to be a distraction. It's meant to fill a void. And what I've learned through watching men and through my own experience is that when we live in short-term gratification of these things, it makes it very hard to be focused on the long term. But then also we are subconsciously changing our mind to think in ways of short-term pleasure consistently. And so when we think that these things don't actually affect us, they do. Because when we get in a habit of giving in to short-term pleasure, then what happens is it keeps us from being able to think long-term and to reach long-term goals, because we give into the here and now. And when we do that, it becomes a compound effect in our life in many other areas. And so that's just one deeper thing of living in short-term pleasure. And I know a lot of men, and including myself, have struggled with it or currently struggle with that thing. And if we can get help, or if you can conquer that area of your life, you will see so much freedom in so many other areas, because you're no longer bound by that way of thinking. I just think that we get bound, Byron, by so many modalities of thinking. How do we look at our thought process? Like, all right, this serves me, this doesn't. This one is great, I need to eliminate this one. How do we go through a process of self-reflection and elimination of thought processes, and then which ones that we need more of?
So it really comes to bringing into awareness the way that you think, because you have to force yourself to slow down and be like, okay, why am I thinking like this? Is this a story I'm telling myself? Is this reality? And is this serving me or holding me back? Because if you don't question and challenge the stories and fears in your head, you're just going to accept them for reality, and they're not going to allow you to move forward. So the first step into that is really, okay, why am I thinking this way? And is this actually real? I'll give you an example of this. There was a client that I was working with, and one of her big goals was she wanted to sign up and do this 5K charity race with her work event, but she just couldn't find the motivation to sign up for the race, let alone go out for a jog. And no matter how much she wanted to do it, she just couldn't. And when we really started talking about it, what she brought up into her awareness is this traced all the way back to her childhood. Growing up, she was the youngest of all her siblings. All of her brothers were amazing at sport. And she had a belief in her head that if she couldn't compete with them, there was no point to even try. And this is something that she wasn't even aware that she carried on with her well into her adult years. And it was only when she really started recognizing that at the end of the day, doing this race wasn't for anyone else, it was for her. But the reason why she couldn't bring herself to sign up is she had a fear that she wouldn't be as good as her coworkers, even though most of them were seasoned runners. So of course she wouldn't be able to compete. So it was firstly bringing into awareness, like, what is holding her back? And it's the same for anyone listening to us right now. If you've got a belief or a fear, you've got to stop and ask yourself, like, what's stopping you from taking action? What is really going on here? Why don't you want to speak to that person? Why don't you want to put out that video? Why don't you want to launch the business? What is the fear and story that you're telling yourself? And then you need to start figuring out, okay, what is the action you need to take? And what else could be going on here? Rather than focusing on why you're going to fail, how could you succeed? What else could this set you up for? What do you need to do today to start proving this wrong? Because the life that you want to live is on the other side of those fears and those stories and those thoughts. But until you put yourself in a situation to challenge them and to prove them wrong, you're never going to move forward.
Absolutely. You know, through our entire conversation, we've been talking about different ways that we can change our mind into doing things that we don't want to do. And I want to ask you this question. How does a person who isn't yet stepped up to that plate to make that decision find the motivation to do so? How do they find their why?
Yeah. So one thing for me, it's all about future framing, what you're actually doing with your life. Because if I take you back over a decade ago, truth be told, I was not in a good place. I was overweight. I was stuck in a job that was killing me. I was burnt out and just deeply unhappy. And for so much of my life, I was just struggling to get through the day. And it was only after my dad's cancer that I had this wake-up call that I saw how much my life I'd wasted. And I got this harsh awakening that I realized that so many people are going to wake up at 65. They're going to look back at the life that they could have lived, the chances they didn't take, and they're going to be thinking, what's if? What if? And that's why, for me, the big motivator became that what's far more terrifying than failure, than rejection, than not getting it right, is regret. And that's why one thing I would encourage every single person listening to this right now to do is to think to the end of your life, what are you going to regret not having done? Because you're going to regret the things that you don't do far more than the things that you do do. And if you really look at the future and you just think about what are you actually putting off and why? Because when you're on your deathbed, are you really still going to be worried about what people think? Are you really going to wish that you didn't go after your goals? What is it really holding you back from? And what do you need to start doing to put yourself out there and go after what you want? Because you only have one life and one chance. And when you can start making the decision to start making it count, that's when you can really turn it around.
Yeah. As we end, I want to share this story. I was 16. And I was a junior in high school. And I decided to quit the baseball team, even though I loved playing baseball. And the previous year, I led my team in home runs. So why did I quit? Because I was consistently bullied and made fun of. Okay, I quit. I didn't play my senior year. And I always wonder, what if I kept going? Could I have actually gotten a scholarship at college to play? But that's not where the biggest regret is, because I'm not going to, probably never would have turned pro or anything like that. But here's where the regret comes in. I would say at least once or twice a month, I have a dream about having the opportunity to replay my high school baseball career. And then in the dream, something always happens to where I don't get to finish it. And I've consistently lived with regret of not finishing a high school baseball career, because it's something that I was deeply in love with. And I let the surrounding aspects of that circumstance dictate my choices. Now, granted, that's not that big of a life-altering regret. However, it still haunts me in my dreams monthly. And I can't imagine going through life having bigger regret haunt me in my dreams. And so I love what you're saying, is how we can use the foresight of the potential of future regret to be the thing that helps motivate us to do something, even if we don't want to do it in the moment, to achieve something that we want to achieve. Byron, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. Where can people...
So can I just add one last thing into
absolutely,
that quickly?
Absolutely.
Like, I don't want to end this on a downer, because what I don't want to do is walk away from the show and hear people hearing this to me like, you know what? I've wasted all this time. I haven't gone after things and just feel bad about it. And that's why I want anyone listening to this right now to realize you can't change the past. What's done is done. But what you can do is make a decision right here and now that you're going to do something different, that you're going to start making today the day that you finally go after your goals, that you start putting yourself out there and going after what you want. Because there's no point on dwelling on the past. You can't change the mistakes you made, the things that you put off. All of that's done. So you're just wasting time and energy dwelling on it. And instead, it's all about shifting your focus to the present and what you're going to do in the life you're going to create. That's how you empower yourself. So please, anyone listening to this right now, I just don't want them to be like, I've wasted all this time, and just beat yourself up, because you can't change it. But you can make a decision to do something different today.
That's awesome. I'm glad you said that, because you're right. That would have totally ended on a downer. I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, are you familiar with Michelangelo?
Yeah.
The artist? He's a sculptor and painter.
A little bit, yeah.
So anyway, there is this beautiful sculpture of David. And someone asked Michelangelo, how did you carve this David statue? And his response was brilliant. He said, the statue was always there. I just carved everything else away. So, like my friend is saying, it's time to get carving. And everything that is not who God has called you to be and the person that you know you are, start carving that out and live from your future self by making the decisions that you see yourself in the future making today. I love you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Whole Person Podcast. And join us on our Facebook group. If you haven't already, you can find us, The Whole Person Project. And we'd love to have you in community with us there. Before we go, I want our guest, Byron, to share with you where you can get his new book, Maybe You Should Give Up, and how you can reach out to him if you want to. Byron, floor is yours.
Hey, so you can get my new book, Maybe You Should Give Up, 7 Ways to Get Out of Your Own Way and Take Control of Your Life, anywhere that you can get books, whether that's Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, Amazon, Walmart, Books A Million. Basically, if they sell books, you can get it there. You can also find out more about me at byronmorrison.com. And I'm really active on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. I put out daily videos and posts and content on taking control of your life. So if you like this message, give me a follow and reach out with any questions.
Thank you so much for coming on to the show today. Have a great day.